It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry, bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storms.
It's a light to my path when a lamp to my feet. When the world is so dark, you can't see. And I'm not made of changes, one word they
said. But you're made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand is true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin.
When I think what it cost just to hold in my hand, I'm reminded that I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who'd go to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. Now its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I've found to be true.
If you find when you read it that there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand is true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand is true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand.
Hey. Song, thank you for singing that. Tonight especially, go to Psalm 138. Psalm 138, your Bible. Find that passage and we'll get into the message. And in just a minute, we'll be ready to hand out. In fact, let's go ahead and do that before we stand and read the scripture. Ushers, if you would, let's go ahead and pass out the calendars. I don't know how many they ordered, but take one per household, a couple per household. I'm sure there's that many. And, of course, the older college-age kids have your own, of course, and juniors and seniors in high school. And if there are more, I want to let some of the church family that's not here today have the opportunity to get one. And, again, I'm not sure how many were printed. And you'll see on there the theme for this year, 2023, is simply the magnified word. They just sang about that blessed old book that I hold in my hand. We're going to attempt as a church family, Lord willing, to make much of God's word this year, the magnified word. So we'll take just a moment and get those out to you. While they're doing that, I want to go ahead. Let's see if I got the clicker. Brother Andrew, we're all set right there, brother. All right, so I want to go ahead and kind of point out some special dates that are on the calendar. Now, you know, I do know that from time to time, because of things that are out of our control, some of these dates get switched and moved, and you can't help that. But the reason we give this to you at the beginning of the year so that you can look through it, and especially the dates that I'm going to emphasize tonight on our screens up here, set aside those dates, maybe not to coincide with your family vacation or a trip out of town, to make sure that you're here on those Sundays and for these special events that I'm going to highlight for you, okay? So the first one, I'm going to turn this on here, the first highlighted event that I want to bring out tonight is special dates for 2023 is our winter warm-up revival. It's been 2 years since Brother Johnson came, and Brother Jerry Ross is supposed to be our preacher for Sunday morning through Wednesday, Thursday night. We're not sure yet how long we'll go. That is if Brother Ross's health allows him to be here. He's got a PET scan coming up. Let's see, I think it's the middle of this month, the month of January sometime, that will tell him a lot about the treatments for his cancer. He preached all day last Sunday in his church. He's feeling pretty good. I think he had one more treatment left. And, of course, those of you that have been through that, you know that after those cancer treatments for the week afterwards, he feels miserable. But this was scheduled long before he developed the cancer. And he said, I want to try to be there, Brother Terry. So we'll have. But in case he can't, we have Brother Tim Green lined up. He has an open week. He wasn't going to book it anywhere. But I asked him to hold it for us if for some reason Pastor Ross cannot be here. So this is one of those dates that I'd like for you to circle and hold and make sure that you're in town for the winter revival. I really believe the one with Brother Johnson 2 years ago was a great help to our church. Great blessing. And this one will be as well, no doubt about it. Then three special Sundays in the month of April. You'll see those on the calendar. If you could set aside those Sundays, I'd like for you to do that. Of course, April 9th is Easter Sunday. This year we're going to feature a Reader's Theater. We did this, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years ago. Had a tremendous turnout, tremendous impact on that Sunday morning service. So Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, we'll do an Easter Reader's Theater with music and a brief message and all of that Sunday, April the 9th. Okay, the next Sunday, we'll have Brother Dennis Coral here. Of course, been following his Sunday with us will be the Revival Fires Conference, but we look forward to have Brother Coral with us for that second special Sunday in the month of April. Of course, we'll be putting on, you know, drives, promotions, and ways to get people to come to church to hear these people speak in the Reader's Theater. And then, I don't know how many of you will recognize this photograph. It's one of the most iconic photographs ever taken. It's during the Vietnam War, and these are Vietnamese people who are running out of a village that's just been hit by napalm. And you see the little girl here in this picture. She's now, of course, how many years ago was that? Back in the 1960s, 70s, all right? And she's now a grown adult lady. Her name is Kim Fook, and she will be our guest on Sunday, April 23rd, to tell her story. Her brother is in that picture as well. And folks, I'm not having her in just for the novelty of hearing her story, although that will be good. This is going to be one of the best opportunities we've ever had to invite folks to a service here, all right? Because that photograph is iconic. I had the privilege of preaching to her kids, at a youth conference in Ontario, Canada, Barrie, Ontario, Canada, several years ago, and met them and heard about her story and how they came to North America, settled in Canada, and in the Toronto area there, she came to know Christ as her Savior. And so it's an incredible story. She'll be giving the story. It's about a 45-minute testimony. And telling about that day when the village was napalmed and everything. And so she'll be our special guest on that Sunday. Now, that's following the Revival Fires Conference. We're talking about a lot put into a very short period of time here that we need to really pray for, concentrate on. And the worst thing that can happen is for church folks to schedule themselves out of town. So be careful about that coming up these special Sundays. This is the Revival Fires lineup for the conference this year, April 17, 18, and 19. To me, it's one of the best ones we've had. Pastor Gomez will kick it off. Missionary Kevin Wynn. He's been here before, but it's been years and years ago. And one of the most miraculous mission works in the world is going on in Mexico City at Mount Zion Baptist Church. And he'll be here that night to preach for us. Pastor Jay Hubbard. I got ahead of myself. Pastor Jay Hubbard will be here from West Virginia. Pastor Files in Arkansas. Of course, one that's been here every year, Brother Fugit. Brother Keith Harrison's preaching this year. I'm excited about that for him and for us. Brother Coral, Pastor Parsons, a man that I went to school with, graduated with back in 1980, Bruce Goddard, went out to Wildermore, California, and in a tent, because they couldn't get a building, in a tent. Built a tremendous church, still in business. Of course, now they've got a building, but he's coming to preach for us Brother Smith will be here. Brother Paisley, Brother Carter will finish it. So that'll be a great conference, Lord willing, in the month of April. Missions Conference is September 10, 11, 12, 13. Brother Randy King will be our guest speaker. He was a longtime pastor at Wildwood Baptist Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Tremendous church, tremendous missions ministry, missions-minded church. And he'll be here to preach for our conference the 10th, 11th, and 12th, and 13th of the month of September. All right? Then we've got three special Sundays in the month of at the end of September and in October for our fall program. Don't have a theme yet for that one, but we will have in time, of course, to let you know about it. And then the couples retreat, October 13 and 14. If you can start, husbands and wives, start planning for that. And then, of course, the end of the year, our Christmas evangelist for next year is Brother Gary Dice, long-term pastor in Pittsfield, Illinois, has had heart issues through the roof, survived them. He has some miraculous stories that go along with his hospital visits and people that he met, things that he went through while he was tested with the trial of his health. And he'll be our Christmas evangelist for December the 10th. And this year, we're going to emphasize the magnified word and concentrate on the word of God. So please, if you would now, put that aside, put that away somewhere. Let's give our attention to the word of God, and then you have that to go home. Let's stand together, if you're able to, in honor of God's word. I'm going to read beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Let's read that last phrase of verse number 2 together. Ready? Read. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. I want to speak on the magnified word. Father, would you bless the message to our hearts tonight? And Lord, would you please make this more than just a theme printed on paper or shown on a screen? I pray that this year your word will be magnified in our lives individually and corporately in the life of this church. Thank you for the book, for our Bible, for this blessed old book that we hold in our hand. Lord, if there's ever a time we need it, it's now. Lord, the world is getting darker and darker and darker, no doubt about it. But I'm thankful for the light of life that is in your word. Help me tonight, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. The voice of God that speaks from the pages, the truth of God that stands throughout the ages. It's a lamp, it's a light, it's the very breath of life, a source of comfort, cheer, and my heart's delight. I'm so thankful that I have a Bible. I love that song written by the Rain, Natalie Rains. They sing it. Beautiful song. And I love that one phrase in there. A source of comfort, cheer, and my heart's delight. Is that true? Is that true about you? Is that true about me? Is this book our heart's delight? That's why we'd like to emphasize this year the magnified word of God. David knew something was very special about the Word of God, and through David's pen, God revealed a powerful truth about His Word. David said at the end of verse number 2, Thou hast magnified thy Word above all thy name. Now we're going to get to that in just a moment, but I want you to look at verse number 1 again. David begins this song, by confessing his desire to praise God. I'll praise thee with my whole heart. David said he put his whole heart into the matter of praising God. You know, David's praise was not lip service. I'm not against praise the Lord, but too many times we use praise the Lord as just a generic, off the cuff, just to, you know, oh yeah, praise the Lord, and give no thought to it. But that wasn't true about David. There was a sincerity, and there was a zeal about his praise that encompassed all of his heart. And he was not ashamed to publicly praise God. At the end of verse number one, he said, Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Now, another one of the Psalms, Psalms 119, verse 46, David said, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. So David would publicly praise God before kings, before princes, before judges, those who worshiped false gods and false deities. Understand, folks, that the nation of Israel was surrounded by nations that exalted and worshiped false deities. And David said publicly, I won't be ashamed to lift up the true God of heaven and praise your name in front of all those people who worship, even those in realm of government who worship false deities. He was not ashamed. Singing and speaking the praises of God is a high and holy work. I thought about this week. You know what? Singing and speaking the praises of God is the work of angels. Now think about that. It is the angels in heaven who sing and speak the praises of God continually. And during services here at the church, we have the opportunity to enter into the work of the angels in heaven. Every time we assemble like this for a service and lift our voices in song like we did tonight, songs of praise to our God, we enter into the work of angels. And so the question is, do you and I enter into that with the same testimony as David said when he did it with all our whole heart? Do we do that? Man, I mentioned already the singing has been through the roof today. And I don't know what it is. The choir's been outstanding. Just beautiful songs today. That song this morning, I wanted to get up and run around the auditorium. No, we just talked about funerals and no more night, no more pain, no more separation, no more sorrow. And boy, it's a great opportunity. Verse number 2, David worshiped in the prescribed way that they were commanded to by God. Look at what he says. I will worship toward thy holy temple. Now, David's not a priest. So David could not enter into the holy place at the temple or the tabernacle. You know, the Holy of Holies was reserved for the high priest alone, and only he could go in there, and he only went in once a year. But the other priests could and did enter into the holy place often. But you had to be a priest to go in there. David's not of the tribe of Levi. He's not a priest. So he can't go into the temple. What David could do and what he did do was worship toward the temple. The Israelites made their prayers toward the temple. You remember Daniel chapter 6, verse number 10? After they gave that, after the king signed that law that nobody could pray to any deity other than himself, the Bible says about Daniel, he went into his house, his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. They prayed toward Jerusalem. There was a place where God's presence came in a special way. And they were told to pray toward that place. David followed that practice. Now, you and I don't have that same practice today. We have a place where God's presence comes in a special way. And that place is where God's people assemble to worship Him. We don't pray toward that place. We go to that place. Now, no doubt, God's presence visits us individually when we worship Him. Brother Gomez said a little bit about worship this morning. That can take place privately. It can happen corporately here as a church when we're doing something for God. Praising His name, singing, giving, whatever it is, okay? But there is something special, and you know this, about the assembly of God's people. And God's people who are concerned about worshiping Him in the place He told us to, don't treat that command lightly. David didn't treat the command to pray toward the temple lightly. He prayed toward it. You and I don't pray toward the place of worship. We go to the house of worship. We go there. You know, skip church for holidays. That absolutely makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. And I'll tell you something. I don't know of a holiday that's so special that you skip a church service, especially when you're honoring the birth of Jesus Christ. That's a bad precedent to set for your kids. We'll tell you, send the wrong message. But anyway, David says again in verse number 2, he says, he will praise God's name for his loving kindness and his truth. Do you see that in the middle of verse 2? Praise thy name for thy loving kindness and thy truth. You know what I thought when I read that and was kind of meditating on this passage? There's the balance of God's character and nature. Loving kindness and truth. Grace and truth. And then after that, we learn about the magnified word of God. God has magnified his word above all his name. I don't remember when that first really caught my attention in reading the scripture, but when it did, it took me back. I had to pause and think about it. And that verse has captivated me since it really jumped off the page some years ago. Magnified his word above all his name. The word magnified means to bring up, to make large, to lift up, to make great. You understand a magnifying glass? A magnifying glass. I put a magnifying glass over the words on this paper right here. It doesn't change the words. It just makes them appear larger than they are. Doesn't change them any. Is God's word bigger than God's name? Well, church, I would suggest that all things about our God are equally the same. And they're equally important. And they're equally big. And they're equally large. So what is going on here? When David said, Lord, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Well, David is probably, most likely, he wrote this song while contemplating God's promise to him. That's found in 2 Samuel chapter 7. We call that the Davidic covenant. God made a covenant with David. You remember, David wanted to build the temple to worship God, a permanent building. But God had that planned for Solomon. And after God told David, no, you're not going to build the temple. You're going to help Solomon build it. God went on to make David a wonderful promise about his heritage. Someone from the lineage of David would rule as king over Israel forever. I almost got into this during the Christmas season, but just ran out of services. But folks, the truth of the matter is, you can trace both Joseph and Mary's lineage back to David. And really, Joseph's not that important because he wasn't Jesus' father. But Mary's lineage goes back to David too. And the Lord made David a promise. Someone from your lineage will rule as king over Israel forever. God would not do to David what he did to Saul. God took the throne from Saul, took it from him. And God specifically told David, I will not do that to you. It's what is referred to as the sure mercies of God toward David. And so David, his mind is on that covenant, and he's praising the God of that promise. Of a promise so sure because God had given his word to David. So I believe what David is saying here is this. The greatest revelation, the surest revelation of God is found in his word. Now think with me for a little bit tonight. There's no points to this, just a simple thought all the way through. God revealed himself to mankind in several ways. He revealed himself to man in creation. He revealed himself to man through his son, Jesus. And he revealed himself through his name. Isn't it interesting at the end of verse number 2, he says, above all thy name. All of it. Because God is known by several different Hebrew names that reveal specific characteristics about his person, his nature. And I'm not going to take time to go through those. We might do that this year on some Wednesday nights. But you know what many of them are. Adonai. Elohim. Jehovah. And all the suffixes that go along with Jehovah. Each of those names and all the other names shed light on the character and nature of God. Question, where do we learn those names? We learn those names in God's Word. If we did not have God's written Word, we would know very little about all His name. But because we have His Word, we learn about His name. God has lifted up and brought up and enlarged His Word. It's a greater revelation. The greatest revelation of Himself, because we learn about His name. And by the way, I can just say this. You know, there's not a person in here, I don't think, who would purposely take the name of God in vain. But what's your relationship with your Bible? Because He's magnified His Word above all His name. I'm glad you don't take God's name in vain. But to disregard His Word. Are you with me tonight? Now, another question. Where do you and I learn about Jesus? Jesus is one of the revelations of God. He was God in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. Where do we learn about Jesus? Anybody here walk the shores of the Sea of Galilee with Christ? Anybody here walk through Judea? Anybody walk with Jesus to the well in Samaria? I didn't. Where did we learn about Jesus? We learn about Jesus in God's Word. Think about this, folks. A minute percentage of the world's accumulative population had the privilege of interacting with Jesus personally on the earth. A cumulative population. What is the population of all time on planet earth? What percentage of that population had the opportunity to interact with Jesus and see Him and hear Him speak? He was only on the earth for about 33 and a half years. And really in a public manner for about 3.5 years. What about the vast majority of the accumulative population who did not live when and where Jesus did? We have the wonderful privilege of learning about Jesus and therefore learning about God through this book. It doesn't take anything away from Christ. He's the living Word. This is the written Word. This is the surest revelation for you and me, for people in this day and age, that there is of God. Now, what about creation? I gave a little thought to that this week. Creation teaches us about God's eternal power and Godhead. Romans chapter 1. So that nobody has excuse. Okay? Well, let me ask you if you remember what Jesus said about that creation. Heaven and earth shall creation is a revelation of God. Reveals the eternal power in Godhead. Romans chapter 1. So that they are without excuse. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day into day. Night into night. Every 24 hours. God's creation preaches a sermon. There is a God. That's going to pass away someday. That revelation of God's going to go away. But what did Jesus finish the statement by saying? But my words shall not pass away. The promise of the divine longevity of the Word of God makes it the most sure, the greatest revelation of God. In fact, Peter said, in 2 Peter chapter 1, that the written Word of God is more sure than the verbally spoken Word of God. God worked through His spoken Word in creation. God worked through His written Word to give us a Bible. God's work through His spoken Word brought life. And yet, think about this. That work has been cursed by the sin of man, and is dying. I'm talking about the creation all around us. It's been cursed. So that great work of God in creation, that was a revelation of Himself, has been cursed by our sin, and it's dying. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together, Romans chapter 8. It's dying. But folks, God's work through His written word brought life too. And God has preserved that life. And His written word will not pass away. This book is the magnified word of God. God Himself has chosen to exalt it above all His name. In reality, it is no greater than God or God's name. We don't worship the book more than we worship Him. But to you and to me, His written word has been brought up. It's been made large. It's been lifted up. It's been made great. What a book we hold in our hand. It's called the magnified word. The magnified word. And yet, what good do you and I realize from the magnified word if we neglect it? What good do we get out of it if we treat it like any other book? Or in some cases, less than other books. And I'm all for being an avid reader. And I would never, you know, somebody says I spend a couple, 3 hours a week reading books and I have my devotions every day. I don't think you have to measure minute to minute, minute to minute. But it's this business of leaving this book closed on your coffee table or closed in your car in the back seat until next Sunday and being an avid reader of books written about men or by men and leaving this one closed. That would be doing disrespect to the magnified word of God. We read books about the book and very little of the book itself. Very little of the book itself. And so, you know, usually about July, August, September, I start thinking, okay, Lord, what about next year? What about next year? And there's obviously tons and tons of great themes that you could pull out of the Bible for a theme for a church. But the Spirit of God, I don't know how to say it, folks. You know how you just know, and those of you that are married and you got married, you just kind of knew that this was the right one. You just knew it. And I just the Spirit of God laid on my heart that the need for us this year as a church body is to emphasize the magnified word of God. And as a church, we're going to do several things that hopefully will help us appreciate and benefit from the magnified word. Let me tell you a few of them. Number one, you'll find on your announcement sheet, you need to get an announcement sheet every week, okay? Every Sunday school class, or if you miss it there, get it over here. But on the back of your announcement sheet, all right, this morning, there is a box at the very top up here called the magnified word. There is a suggested passage to read for the week. It's not 4 chapters long. It's not 2 chapters long. It's not a chapter long. Most of those passages are 7 and 8 verses. And that's on purpose. Because I'm hoping that many of you already have your personal Bible reading plan. Whatever you do, it's your plan. You read it this way. You read it that way. You read this book. You read here. You read there. Most of you have your own, hopefully most of you have your own plan. This is just a supplemental, additional passage to read as a family at devotions, to read as a husband and wife, to read personally throughout the week. This week, the suggested passage is Psalm 138. It's 8 verses long. It's right there in your Bible. How long would it take you or me to read through those 8 verses 2 or 3 times this week? And look, I know it's going to take some getting used to. But that's the suggested reading passage of the week, all right? And we'll read as a church body, read this passage together. And then along with the suggested reading passage is a verse selected from that passage that we hope everybody in the church will commit to memory. And for this week, it's verse number 2. In Sunday school class next Sunday, at the beginning of the lesson, before the lesson gets started, the teacher in the 9:45 classes is going to lead the class in quoting Psalm 138, verse 2. So spend some time committing that Bible verse to memory this week. You say, Pastor, what in the world? Oh, you want me to apologize for trying to encourage you to commit God's word to memory? You want me to apologize for that? I'm not going to. Don't plan on it. Not going to plan. I'm going to apologize for magnifying the magnified word. So commit that verse to memory. It's not hard. Look at it there on the back. Look at it in your Bible on the back of that announcement sheet. It's not going to take us long to memorize that. And in the Sunday school class next week, at the beginning of the lesson, the teacher's just going to say, okay, folks, let's quote Psalm 138, verse 2, our memory verse for the week. And the class says it. Nobody's going to be called on personally. Nobody's going to be singled out. Hey, brother, stand and quote this verse for me. That ain't going to happen. Better not happen. But the class can say it as a whole. That verse will work for little kids. Those are kid-friendly memory verses. They're not bad at all, okay? And so we'll quote some memory. And, you know, there's going to be some Sundays when we have combined Sunday school for some of these special events. But by the time the year is up, you know, we could have committed 48 or 49 verses to memory as a church family. That won't hurt us. Amen. Thy word have I hid in my heart, amen, that I might not sin against thee. Oh, and what was it that Jesus did in the wilderness when he was tempted by the devil three times? It is written, quote, it is written, quote, it is written, quote. Maybe some of the reason God's people have such a hard time with temptation to sin these days is because we're trying to, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I can't do that. Well, I better not do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to say that. Maybe there's a better way to fight that temptation. It is written. 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 We're going to go through all of Psalm 119 in the suggested reading. 176 verses divided up in sections of 8. And the memory verse will come out of one of those sections every Sunday for several Sundays now, starting again after next week. And so that's going to be part of the magnified word. Number three, I'm going to enjoy this. Many of you already do a lot of this at home and other places. We're going to sing a scripture song in the services, every service this year. At missions conference, we won't do it then. We're going to sing a scripture song. I'm going to put the words on the screen. We're going to start next Sunday morning. Fellowship song, the offering song will be a scripture song. We'll sing it for 2 weeks and move on to another one. Sing it for 2 weeks and move on to another one. This is another way to commit God's word to memory through the avenue of music. So we're going to sing a scripture song in the services this year. There'll be a Bible given away each month, a little bit like we did the family baskets this past year. We'll be giving a Bible away in one of the services, one per month. And then in the Sunday evening service, starting next Sunday night, we're going to have a little bit of the service called A Bit About the Bible. And since we believe the King James Bible is the Word of God in English, these bits will mostly be about that translation. An interesting fact of information will be presented during that time in the service on Sunday night. A little section of the service called A Bit About the Bible. Why? Why? Well, if God magnified His Word above all His name, maybe you and I should make something to do of it ourselves. So here's a reading passage. And here's a memory verse. And here's a scripture song. You know what you're going to find out? You'll learn these scripture songs. You're going to be singing them to yourself throughout the week. They're going to be going through your mind. That's better than the country and western stuff. Mm-hmm. Better than that stuff you listen to. So this is going to be very, very helpful for our church. This is simply an attempt to emphasize the importance of the magnified word. Why would we pay so little attention to something that God has enlarged and brought up and lifted up and made great above all His name? If He's done that, you and I can give some special attention to it in 2023. God put this on my heart. We sat down in our calendar planning meeting sometime in November, I think. And when I had taken my ledger, had made my notes on, and I wrote 2023 at the top, and then the magnified, then I had these verses, another scripture in these verses here. And I don't know why I did this. I'm not like this normally. I looked at 2023. 2 plus 2 is 4 plus 3 equals 7. 7 is the number of completion and perfection. And I can't think of anything greater to magnify and exalt in 2023 than the perfect, complete Word of God. The magnified Word. John Quincy Adams said, "So great is my veneration for the Bible." Imagine Kamala Harris saying this. "So great is my veneration for the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove useful citizens to their country and respectable members of society." Andrew Jackson pointed to the Bible and said, "That book, sir, is the rock on which this republic sits." And our first president, who had some cognitive sense about him, said, "It is impossible to govern the world without God and the Bible." That was George Washington. And I forget who said this. It might have been one of the teachers in college. Basically, Mike Hagee, this is what he told me in the van that day. But somebody made this statement: what you do with the Bible determines what God does with you. The magnified Word. We're going to enter into it as a church family and trust that God will use this year to really knit our hearts to the that's been magnified above all of His name. The most surest, for us, the surest, most complete revelation of God. More so than His creation that's dying, is this book. I hope by the end of the year, you will be able to say, "A source of comfort, cheer, and my heart's delight." Delight. Let's stand together. Father, would you bless this year to our church body and to us individually as we take a look into the magnified Word and all that it means for us and is to us. I pray, God, that we'll benefit. I pray that you'll be pleased that we give that much attention to your Word. I pray, God, that you'll work in our hearts individually, corporately, as a people. I want to publicly thank you tonight for giving us your Word, your perfect, complete Word. And as you said, you magnified it above all your name. So, Lord, we would not dare mistreat your name. We certainly don't want to mistreat that which has been magnified above it. Speak to our hearts about this. May this be a year of delighting in your Word. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You know, maybe I'm speaking to some people tonight who've really kind of fallen off the wagon of Bible reading, fallen off from being faithful to it. And tonight, hearing about the magnified Word, while I was preaching about some things that we're going to do as a church, maybe the Holy Spirit slipped by your pew and said, "You know what? You're not giving enough attention to the Word of God. Are you faithful to it? And not just to read it, to live it. Can you say, 'It's my heart's delight'?" If you need to be saved, the altar is open, or baptized, the altar is open. Maybe you ought to just come tonight and kneel and say, "God, this year I want to give myself to your magnified Word." Father, bless the invitation as only you can. Christ's name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The music begins. The altar is open for invitation time. How's your relationship with that which God has exalted above all His name? maybe here at the altar, in your pew, you just tell the Lord, Father, I'm in. I'm in this year. And I want to read these passages and think about the verse that we're going to memorize. It's all about the Bible. Every verse is about the Word of God. So I'm in. Count me in. The magnified Word of God.